I want to welcome you to CCV on all of our campuses today. This is a little different message that we do once a year. We started this several years ago, where we do a State of the Church, which is really kind of our annual report, sharing with you the goals we had for 2015. Did we meet those goals? And then the goals we have for 2016 and where we feel the Lord is leading us. Today, we're doing it a little different. I'm just doing the cliff notes, if you will, of the State of the Church message. The full report you can get online at our website, or you can also download it from our mobile app on your phone, and you can see all the facts and figures of everything. 2015 was a good year, but it was not a great year for us at CCV. It was kind of an outlier year for us. In fact, in the 34-year history of CCV, we've only had 5 years that we plateaued and did not grow, and 2015 was one of those years. And we want to make sure that that doesn't happen again, that we want to grow again, because our goal is that we will grow 10% in every area. We don't want to grow 30% a year, because I believe if we grow that fast, we won't be able to incorporate the people and train them to become the disciples. But we want to have a consistent 10% growth year after year after year, and we did not accomplish that. If you have your bulletin with you on all of our campuses, I hope you would look at that today. And a lot of what we're going to go through is right there. And if you download, as I said, our annual report, you're going to find on baptisms, worship, give, serve, and connect, you're going to find a life story on each and every one of those, really seeing how God has changed lives and everything that has happened this past year. So let's look a little bit at this. First of all, we had almost 1,900 baptisms this year. Those are changed lives, people that made first-time decisions for Jesus Christ. And that's something on all of our campuses. I want us to put our hands together and celebrate, because it's all about changed lives. We exist to win people to Christ and help them to become disciples, and that is significant. We have beautiful facilities on all of our campuses, but it's not about buildings. Buildings are simply tools to reach people for Jesus Christ. It's really all about people. When we started in my house 34 years ago, we said everybody matters, and every life is significant because it's someone's turned their eternal destiny around. I grew up in that little rural church in Kansas. You've heard me talk about that, where when I grew up, if we had 4 baptisms a year, it was a great year. Can you imagine how discouraging it would be to preach 52 weeks, sing Just As I Am, give an invitation, and know that only 4 people were coming out of 52 weeks? And I observed that, and I said, Lord, if I ever pastor a church, I'd love to pastor a church where at least one person was coming to Jesus Christ every day, and God has far exceeded, gone way beyond my dreams and my desires. And so we give Him all the glory for that. How about our worship? Worship was the one area this year where we exceeded. We did not go below or plateau. We grew by 5% this year. If you would compare us to other churches in America, we'd be one of the 10 largest churches in America, by far the largest church in Arizona, but that really is not that big a deal. The most important thing is not the size of our church, it's the impact of our church. Are we making a difference where we live in the communities where God has placed us? Our giving this year, the annual giving per person, was $1,454. Now, many of you give way beyond that. Many of you do not contribute at all. We arrive at that figure by taking the income for the year divided by the attendance, and that's what it worked out to. If everybody was tithing off of that, that means our annual average income is $14,000 a year. So it's obvious this is an area that we can continually grow and trust God. Serving, we have over 6,600 people serving, volunteering, saying, I'm all in, I want to help make a difference in ministry for Jesus Christ. This is significant. Most of my pastor friends in churches smaller than us or close to our size, they have between 45 and 60% of their budget that goes to staff salaries and benefits. We have never been above 35%. And the reason we can do that is because on all of our campus, so many of you are willing to step up and serve and say, where do you need me to make a difference? And I want to encourage you, keep up doing that. What about connecting? We have over 7,000 people that connect consistently weekly in our small groups, our neighborhood groups. And this is important. And if you're not in a group, I want to encourage you to get in one. Because when you come to any of our campuses and you just worship, they're all big churches, and it's easy to fall through the cracks and slip away. But if you're connected in a group, There's people there that will encourage you and pray for you and help you in your spiritual journey. So this is some of the scorecard things that we're looking at. Now, what are some of the bigger picture items for 2015? First of all, we sent more young people to youth camp and more people on mission trips than any other time in the history of our church. Our Leadership Institute, where we bring in young people and train them and send them out to be difference makers all over the world, was our largest group this year. The first year was 25 students, last year was 35, and this year we had 42 residents currently in that program. Also this year, we were able to expand our Surprise Campus, almost double the worship capacity. The Surprise Campus is doing great. They're running almost 4,000 in attendance. We also this year, for the first time, had one service in Easter at the Cardinal Stadium. First time that all of our campuses, we ever got together, and we averaged over 53,000 in that attendance. And I would say to you, looking back, that had more of a ripple effect than I realized. Almost every campus that I visit, they say to me, we have friends and coworkers that talk about that service, and many of them were there. Some have asked, are we going to do an Easter service at Cardinal Stadium again this year? The answer is not in 2016. 2017 will be our 35th anniversary. There's a good chance that we might go back there again. By then, hopefully, we'll have to have two services at Cardinal Stadium. That was humor on all our campuses. I really appreciate you for understanding that, all right? Also this year, we opened our 7th campus, as you saw, in May in Avondale. We started with 2 Sunday services, and the response has been incredible. Already less than a year old, the first of the year, they added 2 services on Saturday night, and the Avondale campus is already averaging over 2,300 every weekend, and God is doing some significant things there. So 2015 was not a great year, but it was a good year. And most churches would probably do handstands if God was doing that, but we're used to God doing greater things, and that's why we're not satisfied with that, and this year, we're going to get back to that 10% growth. So 2016, we want to grow by 10% in every area. 10% in every area of the scorecard we talked about. 10% of the young people increase going to camp. 10% more people going on mission trips. We also are going to start our 7th campus this year. And if you look at the map of the valley, you can see that we have campuses kind of surrounding the valley, but we don't have a campus kind of in the middle of the valley. And so we've been looking this year, and we're going to intentionally start our 7th campus around Interstate 51 and somewhere around Camelback or Indian School. And if you know friends, family members, if you know coworkers that live in that area, or maybe you're in one of our other campuses, and right now you drive and you live in that area, we'll be getting names together, and we'll be starting a core group. Hopefully, this year, we're already looking for locations. You need to understand that of the 6 campuses we have, only 2 we started intentionally. The others, God kind of brought to us. And so our elders always pray and trust God. We intentionally are going to start a campus in this area, but we also, if God opens a door with other things that we're not planning, we will also step out in faith and do that as well. So we're trusting God for our 7th campus this year. Another thing that we're going to do is we usually have a theme for the year, all in, step up, that sort of thing. But this year we don't have a theme, but the word that you're going to hear over and over and over is next step. What is your next step in your spiritual development? And that's why if you have your program, your bulletin, turn it over to the other side where it says next steps, and I want you to follow along because this is a significant addition to what we're going to do. It does not change our mission at all. We still exist to win people to Christ, train believers to become disciples, and send disciples to impact the world. In fact, I believe that every church should have, as a part of their mission, the Great Commission. Rick Warren, a pastor in California, says, the Great Commandment plus the Great Commission equals a great church. The Great Commandment, love God, love others, and go make disciples, and you will have a great church. And I believe that is so true. So our mission does not change. On this side, you see the same thing stated a different way. Our goal is to take people that are non-church, non-Christians, and lead them on their spiritual journey until they become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And that will happen as we win them, train them, and send them. So what does this do? This year, what we're trying to do is add a little more clarity to what do we mean when we say win, train, and send. First of all, winning people to Christ. The first thing we've got to do in this funnel, one step builds on the other, is we've got to make people aware of our church. How do we do that? One way is through word of mouth. Every conversion begins with a conversation. Don't miss that. Every conversion always begins with a conversation. And so we're going to invite our friends to come to one of our campuses. Secondly, we made people aware this year by billboards. We put up some billboards all over town for the first time just so they would be more aware of CCV. But by far, the number one thing that we make people more aware of CCV is through our stickers. Want to go to heaven? Get one of those suckers on your car, all right? Let me illustrate this. A week ago, I was in Las Vegas on a Friday. I was not there to gamble. Our giving was down a little this year, and the elders said, take the offering and put it on red. And see, no, not at all, okay? I was there to help plan a national Christian convention, went out early in the morning, took the last flight out at night, and I got on the plane. I was close to the front on the aisle, and just before it got ready to take off, a young lady came in and sat next to me, and we started a conversation. I said, what do? She flips houses for her career in a big firm in Vegas. She also has family in Phoenix. She flies back twice a month, and she and her brothers flip a few houses here in Phoenix. So we talked about that. I said, are you married? She said, no, I'm living with somebody. I said, why are you living with them instead of getting married? She said, because divorce is really high and it's getting higher. And I said, no, divorce is not really getting higher. It's getting less because more people are living together instead of getting married. She said, no, I didn't realize that. And so we kept talking about a lot of different things. And then finally she said to me, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor of a church in Phoenix. She said, you don't talk or look like a pastor. And I wanted to say, what do they look like? Okay, but we kept talking. And it was a great experience. And she said, well, what church do you pastor in Phoenix? And I said, well, it's called Christ Church of Valley. Maybe as you drive around, you might have seen one of those stickers on a car. She said, are you kidding me? I see those everywhere when I come back here. Aha, good. She's aware. All right? Or a lady this week in one of our campuses said to me, she said, Pastor Don, I bought my son who's in the military in Saudi Arabia. I sent him a shirt that said the power of one with CCV on it. And the first day he put it on in his military base in Saudi Arabia, a guy walked up to him and said, hey, I know where you're from. You're from Phoenix, Arizona, because my parents go to that church. CCV stickers. Anybody can clap, get a sticker on your car, okay? All right, okay. So the first thing here is what? We want to make people aware. We want to make people aware so that then they will consider. What do we mean by consider? Well, statistics now say that people look at a website 12 to 15 times before they visit a church. That's totally different. So everything we want to do, the billboards, the word of mouth, the stickers, is to get them to be aware so that they will look at a website and consider what is CCV all about. And once they consider, we want them to evaluate. What do you mean evaluate? We want them to visit one of our campuses. What's their first impression? If you're going out to buy a car, the evaluate would be you're going to do a test drive. First impressions is crucial because on every one of our campuses, you are already the upper 5% in size of all churches in America on every campus. And so many people that come to your campus, they realize that, wait a minute, they would say, when they come to our campuses, they would say, this is a big church. And so when you see people walking on campus, they kind of look around, where do I go? Please go over and engage them. Welcome. Anything I can do for you, because that first impression is crucial, because we want the first impression as well as the last impression to be significant. You say, why is that important? Again, started in my living room with 8 people, and everybody matters. And no matter how big God blesses all of our campuses, we want people to always realize we care about one at a time, every person matters. So we want them to evaluate, and if it's a good experience, they'll do what? They'll come back for the second time, the third time, the fourth time, hopefully, and then they'll make a commitment. You say, what do you mean? We'll encourage them to go to Starting Point. what happens at Starting Point. We share with you what it means to be a Christ follower, to become a Christian. We share with you our strategy. We go through some of this. We share with you our structure. How does this church make decisions? How do we work together to impact this city for the good news of Jesus Christ? And so, on all of our campuses, if you've been coming 1 week or 1 year, never gone to Starting Point this month, I want to encourage you, maybe that's your next step, that you would do that. So when this happens and they then become a Christian, we have accomplished part one of our mission, winning people to Christ. And so the winning is their spiritual journey where they're seeking. Training believers to become disciple is your spiritual development. How are you growing? And so this is something that really we're trying to add clarity this year on what does it mean to be a disciple. And we've identified five things that we believe are necessary to bring about heart transformation that will create movement and growth in our spiritual walk. And so let's look at each of these. How are we engaged? First of all, worship. What do we mean when we say worship? First of all, we want you to have your own personal worship, meaning you will study the Bible and pray daily on a consistent basis. Statistics say that the number one predictor of spiritual growth is reading the Bible on your own. Not just coming to church, going to a Bible study, but reading the Bible on your own. So we want you to have personal worship. We also want you to be involved in public worship. You say, what do you mean? Well, the Bible says in Hebrews, let us not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. It was important for believers to get together every week to encourage each other and worship Almighty God. And so we want to encourage all of you to come every week. But we know many don't do that. In fact, on all of our campuses, those that check in their children, that's the only ones we can track, they come 1.7 times a month. Some of you, I want to encourage you, if you come 1.7 times or less than that, I want to encourage you this year to take the next step in your own public worship, and would you commit to at least coming 3 times a month? Make a commitment to come at least 3 times. So worship is one indicator of spiritual growth. The second would be connect. And this is where we want you to connect in a neighborhood group. Because again, if you go to our campuses and all you do is worship and leave, it's easy to fall through the cracks. I've been in small groups since this church started. I'm in a neighborhood group. I need that for my own personal accountability and growth and encouragement. And so we want all of you to connect in a group. We want you to connect with people outside your group. We got to be salt and light in the community. So maybe your kids are involved in youth sports. Get to know the parents, the people you work with, the people you work out with, the people that you do hobbies with. Build relationships, connect with them so that we can what? Get them to come back and become aware of CCV. Or maybe it's serve. God has really blessed our church by so many that serve, and I shared with you the difference that's made. We want you to serve in the church. Find a place at CCV where you can say, I can use the gifts and abilities that God has given me to make a difference. We also want you to serve outside the church. If a neighbor has a need, if a coworker has a need, you're aware of a need in the community or your school, would you do it or get some other believers from CCV together and say, how can we serve and make a difference and show the love of Jesus to others? What about giving? Well, giving, we've already talked about that in this series, that we want everybody is expected and encouraged to bring at least the first 10% of their resources and return it back to God as a way of saying, God, thank you for blessing me, and I want to trust you by faith. Some of you would say, well, what if we give way beyond 10%? If we go beyond 10%, we're able to what? Send more kids to camp, train more people in the Leadership Institute, send out more missionaries, start more campuses, make a greater impact in this city and the world. Well, what about share? Share, first of all, we want you to know how to tell your story. Somebody would say, do you go to church? You'd be okay with that. You'd say, yeah. Why do you go to church? And then you would share with them the difference this church and Jesus Christ has made in your life. You see, when you share your story, it's non-threatening to people. They'll listen to your story, but we also want you to know how to share his story. If they would say, well, you're a Christian, how can I become a Christian? Most of us would probably clam up because we would think, you know, I don't know exactly what to say to lead somebody to an adventure with Jesus Christ, and we will give you resources to help share with you how you could personally lead someone to Jesus Christ. We see these then as different levels of engagement things that are necessary for our spiritual growth. Now, as I said, at this level, winning, that is your spiritual journey. You're seeking an adventure with Jesus. This is your spiritual development where you're trying to grow and take the next step. And we don't, this is something that if you're in worship, maybe your next step is giving. It could be serving. It could be connecting. It doesn't necessarily go this way. It goes different ways. As you take your next step this year, maybe you're at one level, we want you to take your second step. Maybe you're doing two, take three. If you're three, take four. If you're involved in all five, what's your next step? You say, well, I'm fully engaged. I've arrived. No, you haven't. Because you see, disciples of Jesus Christ become stagnant in their spiritual growth until they invest their lives in others. And so, sending disciples to impact the world, this is your spiritual reproduction. All of us have a responsibility to reproduce our faith in others. If you're a parent, your number one goal is what? Not to make a lot of money. It's to lead your kids to have an adventure with Jesus Christ. Your goal is, in the marketplace, is not just to be successful. It's to influence the people around you to also become Christ followers. If you live in a neighborhood, your desire is what? To impact them as well. And so what we want to do, if you're engaged in all five areas, we want to encourage you then to become a coach. You say, what do you mean, a coach? Well, we want you to be a mentor or an encourager for other people to help them take their next step. Some of you are going to be group coaches, meaning you already lead a neighborhood group, and this year we're going to change your title from a neighborhood group leader to just a group coach. I lead a neighborhood group, so this week I'll sit down with the people in my group, and I'll say, hey, I'm now your group coach as well, and where are you in this engagement? What step do you want to take next, and how can I and the group pray for you, encourage you in that? But we also have between 40 and 50,000 people that call CCB home, and not everybody's in groups. So what about all those that are not in groups? We want to be able to contact you and have a next step coach for you. Maybe they'll meet with you between services, but they would simply be there to encourage you and help you in your spiritual growth. Now, this is going to take us about 90 days to get everybody contacted on all of our campuses. But if somebody calls you and says, would you be interested in a next step coach? Please be open to that phone call and basically saying, if you would, say, yes, I would, and we'll do everything we can to get you connected in that way. Now, the purpose of a coach, then, is to mentor and help everybody in their spiritual growth, but we also want you as a coach to be confident enough in your faith that you're also able to, what, go back out into the marketplace and engage people where you live and work and make them aware, then, of CCV as well. I think this really adds some clarity to our mission statement that we really haven't done in the past. And so when we say win, train, send, I want you to think of this funnel of how we then move them to accept Jesus Christ, and then how we move them and connect them so that they can grow in their spiritual walk and become more like Jesus, and then how we can send them out to invest their lives in others and continue to win and train and send. I want you right now to watch a life story of a couple on our surprise campus that basically have done this very thing, and I want you to see how it's changed their life.
I mean, before church, we were just busy, just kind of getting through life, you know, raising kids and, you know, normal stresses that family has, money, time, raising teenagers and preteens. And so we had talked about going to church for years. We went early in our marriage to a small church.
And it felt good, but we were skeptical at first because there was a collection plate passed around at the beginning of service, in the middle of service, at the end of service. And it just felt like that was basically like what it was about. We kind of got a little jaded, you know? We didn't think that that's what we wanted to go to church for. So we were skeptical. I thought that coming to church that I would be judged. I mean, I do have quite a bit of tattoos, and I didn't want to be judged, you know? And so we became disenchanted for years, you know, like where we didn't think about it. And then just trouble after trouble after trouble with marriage and with raising kids and money, and it just it wasn't working for us, that's when we decided to, you know, we'll give CCB a try. So then we told ourselves, well, okay, well, we're going to church, but we're not going to serve. We're not going to be part of a neighborhood group. We're not going to tithe. We'll just go to church. That first service, it felt like there was a light shining down on us. I was like, this is directed just at us.
Well, after our third service of feeling like the spotlight was on us, and that, you know, every service I was crying, and every service I felt great when I left, you know, and so we decided that day we signed up for Starting Point, and we went to Starting Point, and that day when we left, we signed up to join a group and to start serving and to be baptized. I just had no idea everything I was going to get out of it. And when we signed up for group and we went to our first group, I was scared to death. I'm like, I don't know these people. They're going to ask me questions I don't right. have the answers to.
We were afraid that we were going to be judged even walking in,
right.
you know, so.
And we walked in and it was like an immediate second family, you know. And we had only been going to group a couple weeks before we were baptized. And every single one of our group members was at our baptism. It's nice to have that support system with people with the same beliefs and goals and faith.
It made church as big as CCV is, it made it smaller to have the neighborhood group to share our faith and growing.
When we first started going to church or thought about going to church, I would never talk to anybody about my faith. You know, just very, now it's like I depend on it daily to get through my day. And, you know, I want to shout out from the rooftops. It's just been amazing for what it's done for our family. And just, we do always want more because if there is a week where maybe we can't go to church, we feel it, you know? And so now it's just a priority. We don't do anything on Saturday night until we go to church and our girls go to church. And, you know, we like serving and we like having the group in our house. And it's been awesome.
I just know that it makes us feel so, so much better. And compared to what we were before, from the love that, you know, everyone shared with us to the spiritual transition that happened between our marriage. Everything from that first day just clicked. And we want to do more, you know what I mean? And we don't know what that looks like, but we know that God will open the doors for us.
Well, there's a young couple that got in and got engaged real quick in a lot of different areas, but you can really see the change that it's made in their lives and their priorities. And so as we look at our next step, my goal of this strategy is twofold. Number one, again, to remind you that everybody matters. God has given each of you unique abilities and gifts, and you're never going to be fulfilled until you use them for His glory. And so we want to encourage you. We want to give you guidance. We want to help you in that spiritual journey because that's often difficult. So again, when you're contacted, be open to that because literally we want to help you do that. Secondly, we want everybody to become a disciple. We just don't want to bring people in and they come to church and that's it. We want you to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ where you're a disciple and you're also making other disciples and you've allowed your heart to be transformed, not that it's all about us, but we realize it's all about Him. And how can we be concerned about sharing with others the difference that Jesus Christ has made in our life? And so my challenge for you in 2016, every person on every campus at CCV, would you do whatever it takes to take the next step? No matter what level you're at, would you move just one more step? And I believe if all of us on all of our campuses make that decision to move just one step, God will bring revival to this church in 2016. So that's my challenge for you this year, and I trust that you will go for it, and this will be the best year we've ever had. I'm going to pray, and then your campus pastor is going to come out and give you a specific information and challenge for your campus. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and he's the reason that we live and move and breathe. Lord, we don't want to be an average church. We don't want to just take up space. The church is the only hope of the world, and if we don't get it done, there's no plan B. So help us this year, all of us, be more intentional about what we can do to take the next step in our spiritual growth so we can become more and more like you. Lord, thank you for your continual blessing upon our lives and on this church, and we promise to always give you all the glory. In your name we pray, amen.